Welcome to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a weekly conversation with area leaders about how to persevere during uncertain times. Now here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, and welcome to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. It's good to have you listening along with it because we have an interesting topic today that really addresses many of the things that are happening in Northwest and frankly, Western Kansas. And it has to do with how we continue to move forward, how we think forward, how we do the right things for not only people in our community, but specifically in this case, students in our community. Our guests on the program today are Roberta Myers and Kayla Collins. They are both talking about what's taking place over in the Wilson schools and what's going on there. I'm going to start with Roberta. First off, Roberta, before we talk about schools and that sort of thing, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a retired educator, a teacher addict, one of those that stayed a long time. And I guess I've never fully recovered because my husband tells me all the time, I know you're a teacher, but you're not my teacher. So I have tried to reach out to other teachers and I've learned about their plight here in this area. And I've always been a kid advocate. So with that in mind, I've gotten involved. I didn't know a lot at the beginning, but as I learned more and more about the situation, I felt like it could have been done a lot differently.
Okay, we'll talk about specifics. Next to you is Kayla Collins. Kayla, why are you on the camera here?
Oh, well, I'm passionate for the community. I have two children. One has gone graduated from Wilson High School. The one, my youngest, will be a senior next year. And unfortunately, she will not graduate from Wilson High School. But the main reason why I'm here is because I believe that schools are vital to rural small towns. And without the collaboration between both, our towns will die out. And I think it's important that we fight to keep them.
Well, that makes sense. So let's go back. Roberta, you jumped in on this. You're not necessarily a voter on the issue, but can you give us a synopsis, kind of a quick overview of what's taking place at the Wilson schools that's causing all of this attention?
Well, I believe the most tragic is that in any closure vote, before you start, you should have your prepared paperwork. You build relationships. You find common ground, you look at other less drastic cost-saving measures, and then you go back to building relationships. And for some reason, there's a failure here. And I feel like the students have never been put first. The students are the most important resource in this district. And I feel like they are being harmed.
So Roberta, when you say that, when you talk about, overall, somebody that's just coming new to the subject, the Wilson School District is planning to be closed. What's happening? What's the real life version of what's taking place?
Currently, Wilson 712 will be closed come July 1st of this year.
And that is a done deal at this point?
Unless the board would change course, they still could. They have a board meeting coming up next Monday. They have the possibility of calling a special meeting. I think there are a lot of patrons right now that are uncertain. The disorganization petition is unclear. The end result is unclear, and it has promoted a lot of uncertainty across the whole district, and voters are trying to decide what exactly they're voting on.
Okay, so there's going to be a vote. I understand the vote is coming up August 1st, but coming up to this time, as I understand it, the school board has put together a disorganization plan that they have supported. The locally elected school board members have done that. And as a result, the school 7 through 12 will close on July 1st, and those students go someplace else, whether it be Claflin or Ellsworth or someplace else. So that is already put in place. There is a school board meeting coming up this next week on a Monday where they're going to rediscuss that and do that. What are you guys, when you take a look at that?
I'm going to jump in real fast.
Is anything wrong in that?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of misinformation in that. The district did vote to close Wilson 7 through 12 and transfer students to Claflin High School. That was I think, decided on in January. That they passed a resolution and that was done in January. In the meantime, we have asked for extensions. We've looked in land transfers. We've done a lot of different things. But the petition for disorganization is that came about by patrons who signed a petition to get the question on the ballot. The school board doesn't really have a plan in regards to disorganization. If it passes, that'll come from the state.
Okay, so there's two different things at work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The school board being the school board closing the school based on their efforts, and that would take place 7 through 12 going to Claflin. But the disorganization plan, which is a whole different subject, mm-hmm. not totally different, but a related subject, mm-hmm. That is still in the works, and that's what the community will vote for.
Right, because that'll actually dissolve the entire district with the State Board of Education determining where each attendance center will be assigned to a new district, a neighboring district.
So reading, there's a lot of information, and Roberta, you provided a lot of information on what's going on and what's taking place. I want to talk about statewide ramifications first, and then we're going to come back after a break and talk a little bit about what parents and what people need to know in Wilson specifically. The disorganization process is taking place. When I grew up, I was in a country school for 3 years, and I think, Roberta, you've been through some changes as well in a school. We consolidated back in those days, and I ended up at a bigger school in Wakefield, Kansas, if you can call that a bigger school. But I went from a one-room schoolhouse with they really dates me, but they were a boys' outhouse and a girls' outhouse, and there was not necessarily running water in those places. Anyway, but they closed those down, consolidated, put it in Wakefield, and I ended up in Wakefield through eighth grade, then moved to Clay Center for high school. So I ended up through some of that consolidation. What is the difference from that type of thing to the disorganization?
You want me to carry that? Okay. Well, consolidation is usually brought on between the school boards. They agree, they come up with a plan, they submit it for approval. Disorganization, the disorganization that we're doing is the first in the state of Kansas. It's coming from an electoral vote. The school boards don't have a plan. There was nothing presented. So that will basically, if it passes and we choose to disorganize, then the State Board of Education will come in and they will hold hearings with the community members, and they will determine how to best push different parts of our district to different neighboring districts or all to one. It's really kind of up in the air, but more than likely it'll just be, you know, they'll probably push the south end to different communities or different districts, I should say, and the north end to a different district. But as of right now, there's no set way to do that. There's nothing that really defines which way we'll go.
And on a statewide basis, why does that make any difference to anybody outside of Wilson?
Well, I think it's going to make more difference to our neighboring communities, because they will, their attendance will rise, because they'll get our students, which can affect their funding. Either their low enrollment waiting could get adjusted, they could get more funding from the state. But as of statewide, it doesn't really affect them per se right now. But
and I would like to jump in here, because I feel like local boards do have control, and that's a good thing. But with this process, it has become three financial reasons were the reason for closure. But the evidence for the financial reasons has never been displayed to the public. And I would challenge the board right now to put that evidence forth, especially the evidence they put forth on January 4th at the hearing. And it does affect other schools, both large and small, in the state of Kansas. When we went to testify before the Senate Education Committee, we were told that Lawrence has a dispute between north and south of schools, north and south of I-70. We were told that Derby is going through something similar. So it's not just a large, small school thing. It is the process in which it happens. The school closure process should be smoother and more transparent. And because this school board has been, there's been a lack of transparency and a lack of providing the evidence, some of that, which wasn't even available till the night of the hearing, the public in Wilson has said, we want actual facts. And the state responded. The Senate and the House passed House Bill 2138, saying that there should be a smoother process, that any closure vote, with a closure vote, there should be a year for school districts and parents and students to adjust to that process and that change. And we asked for that 1 year extension.
I don't think that was not in the House bill, though.
That it is. Bill. It does say that there would be a 1 year. It didn't. That didn't pass. Okay, that could possibly be. But
So the idea being, though, is there's a little bit of confusion on how to make this all work.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to take a break, come back here, and want to talk about specifically now what's happening in the school of Wilson, what take place. Obviously, as it stands right now, your daughter, correct, mm-hmm. will be going to another school somewhere for her mm-hmm. senior year. And there's others in the school obviously be affected as well when that happens. So let's take a quick break. Complicated issue, but certainly one that is important to all of us here in Northwest Western Kansas or any smaller community in the state of Kansas. Back with more after this.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. Long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management. Enhancing lives and strengthening families.
Welcome back to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times. Roberta Meyer is our guest, along with Kayla Collins. We're talking about an issue taking place in Wilson, Kansas that has maybe bigger ramifications on smaller communities and how they either consolidate, how they transition to different areas, how they keep the good things in their community. Had to do with the closing of Wilson Schools grade 7 through 12 that is scheduled to take place. I'm going to go to Kayla first here. And Kayla, coming out of the break, we went into the break talking about kind of the bigger picture of the complicated issues, and there are complicated issues here involved with how you go about this process. What are the steps you're hoping to see happen in the next few weeks that could maybe change the course of this?
Well, unfortunately, I don't see the next couple of weeks making a difference for us right now. My daughter, who's going to be a senior next year, we have enrolled her in a neighboring district. She will be an out-of-district student for next year. So we've already taken the processes to do that because she needs to know. She can't keep going up in the air and, you know, with the athletics and things like that, you know, we had to do it. So unfortunately, I think the time's up for the students, and it's been very stressful for them.
Understand that. And so in the community, what are the steps people in the community, your neighbors that are in the city of Wilson, the community of Wilson, even extending outside a little bit, what are they talking about?
Well, with the petition or the disorganization vote, and why most of them are looking for a yes vote, meaning they would like the disorganization, is because we lost confidence in our local board that they're acting in the best interest of our students. And we feel that in order to keep the buildings, either whether it be K through 6 or even bring back a 7 through 12, that we're going to have to, you know, divide. We're going to have to go to a new district and get under some different leadership.
And so that vote would be, you're encouraging people to vote yes, that would allow things to happen. And does that get rid of the local school board then?
No, it just puts us under a different school board. We'll be under the one, you know, at the neighboring district or wherever we're assigned. Well, you don't lose your school board or your local control. You're just kind of working under a different one then.
So that's an important vote. It takes place in the community of Wilson. And Roberta, you mentioned you're 200 yards outside. What is the district? How does that set up that allows certain people to vote and others not to?
Well, the district is very geographically challenged. You can go from the northwest corner, which is to the southeast corner, and it's 42 miles. And some of those patrons would, if they transferred to the southern part, they would have to make that drive one way, 42 miles every day. It's a burden that I feel like if the tables were turned, would not be happening. I also feel like there was an option for a voluntary land transfer, And at the time, the laws did not support that. Another reason to go to Topeka and get a law change, which low enrollment funding, if your enrollment goes up, your low enrollment funding goes down. That's a detriment to any district surrounding the area to take on Wilson. But that has been changed. Mm-hmm. Well, the low enrollment funding will be, that's part of the bill in place for 3 years.
Yeah, but it's part of that Gannon Supreme Court decision. So the actual formula has not changed, but the amount of funding available in the fund has changed.
So what's interesting, and you guys are working hard, and I've seen all the information. There's a lot of information there. There's people listening out here today that are going, boy, it's complicated. We've heard about it in the school funding, the Supreme Court, all of this is really tough. The smaller the community, the harder it is to retain those resources to have a good school, to mm-hmm. do those things that you need in today's world to create that. I'm going to go back to Roberta, and you mentioned that you're one of those teacher addicts, basically. You've taught for years. You've done that. How can local schools continue to be relevant with a really good education for their kids as the population declines? How do you keep the fire, so to speak, in the school? And Kayla, the good parent, understands that as well and may be a part of that. But Roberta, help us with that answer.
Well, I had an individual tell me that small schools actually are cheaper to run. You have less expense. It's just like you can take Wilson, and it's a little micro community. And it's very simple, but it serves the needs of the people. You can have small schools that serve the needs of the students. And with that, I'll use the example, because cost per pupil is always important. But let's say you have a business. They have to offer a quality product and service, customer service. You could go to Walmart and probably get a cheaper price. But if you want quality and service, I don't think you can beat small schools.
Yes, correct.
They might not offer all the programs, but because they don't offer all the programs, and you may make several different sports like a swim team, they actually keep the cost down. And some of your students that have special needs can stay in a classroom because you have smaller class sizes. The teacher can support that student right within that classroom. It's called inclusion, rather than a pullout where you have students having a separate teacher. So small schools can save money.
Kayla, your input of, you're moving your daughter, and you have other kids that are coming up through the local school as well. Is that your last?
No, my daughter is my youngest. She'll be my last.
And she'll be your last one through. As you talk to others in the community and you're doing this, what is your kind of short story to them on why they should vote yes in August?
Well, I think the main reason is for confidence, that, a confidence that the board is looking after our kids, that they're going to work with our community. We have a K-12 building where they're all under one roof. And so to move half of that out, it was just didn't make sense to the community, which kind of leads to the fact that they're not really caring about us here. And so we need to, look to the future, look how we can work with somebody who wants to work with our community and watch us thrive as they thrive. What's best for us is best for them.
Would you ever see the 7 through 12 come back to Wilson?
Possibly, I do, yes. It'll be under probably different scenarios, maybe a private Catholic school, perhaps. But I think if we work well together and we work with a new district, I think we can accomplish that goal.
What I like about the conversation we've had is you guys are both back in that Wilson area, even though you're just outside a little bit, Roberta, but you're back there. You're saying, how can we help our small communities? And having that local voice and parents who care and people who care and the community that gets together and rallies behind that, that's the passion that makes things work versus having edicts come down from Washington, D.C. or Topeka where somebody does that. So I really appreciate the work you two are doing. How do we get a hold? Kayla, do you have an email address if somebody wants more information and would like to get some feedback or some of the details on this?
Absolutely. I can be reached at my email, which is Kayla, Kayla.Cullens, C-U-L-L-E-N-S, @WilsonCom.net.
So they could reach out to you and do that. Are there any other resources out here? I know, Roberta, you provided just piles of information. Where do people go if they want to dig deeper into some of that?
Well, it'll be a month tomorrow since we filed the petition, and we are working behind the scenes to make sure that we actually put the facts out there to prepare the voters for this big decision. There will be more coming very shortly. In fact, we've got some rough drafts of information we're preparing. And once we go live, I guess Kayla and the community will spread that resource.
Yeah, we're working on a Facebook page and a website to have all the information collected into one central area. It's not live yet, but we're looking to launch it really soon. And probably just a simple Google search of, you know, Wilson USC 112, it'll put you in the right direction.
Okay, well, keep us posted on that. Can you send us the information so when the Facebook page does go up, go live and do that? And yes, one thing left, Roberta?
Yeah, I would like to add that the Kansas State Department of Ed has said that they possibly would be conducting community meetings at some point, but we don't have any details on that yet. We have asked for that. And I know with this organization, because we're setting precedent in the way that it's happening, that there is uncertainty. The ending is uncertain, but we are trying to educate the voters with the information that is factual and not rush into this because we want to get it right.
Getting it right is important for not only the community, but those students as well. So I appreciate the passion you two have for doing that. We'll look forward to more details and maybe a community meeting, some Facebook page where information can happen. Thanks for joining us today on Forward Ever.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, our guests today have been Kayla Collins, who's with the Wilson School District, has a daughter that will be transitioning out of that school to another school in her senior year. And we have Roberta Meyer, who has been helpful in this whole process of working with the Wilson School. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening here to Forward Ever, leading in challenging times. Certainly a challenge going on right here. Our program is brought to you by Worth Wealth Management, where you can live with confidence. I'm Gary Shorman.
Thanks for joining us for Forward Ever, leading in challenging times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. Join us right here next week for another episode with host Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond. And those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.